How do you remake a classic movie? Not like this. Today I'm talking about The Wages of Fear. This is Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie Podcast. Hello, movie friends. Welcome to Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie Podcast. I am Scott, and today I am talking about the recent Netflix French remake of, well, not French remake, the original film was French, but the French movie The Wages of Fear, which just came out. And this is one where I'm like, wow, is this a reboot of the same? And it is the same premise as the classic film, one that has also taken the same, another movie that has taken the same plot, which is 1977's Sorcerer, directed by William Friedkin, which Friedkin was very adamant was not a remake of any sort. They just had the same source material. I somewhat agree. But I checked this one out and was just kind of blown away by how this missed the point or the appeal of the story. And it irritated me, so I decided to write about it. And now you get to listen to me whine about this movie for a bit, which I don't always do, but this one I have plenty of reasons to complain. So without further ado, let's get started. I've written a few times about the highly niche difficulties of being a giant movie buff. For instance, I saw that there is an American remake of the Danish film Speak No Evil, which raised two very important questions for me. Why that movie? And am I going to be able to subject myself to that story again, or a version of that story again? Not an issue for most movie fans. And today we're running into what I can only dub an absurd commercialization of a classic film in this reimagined version of the 1953 classic film, The Wages of Fear. There's trouble brewing near a refugee camp, an oil well has caught fire, and the only way to prevent a total catastrophe is to pump the well full of highly flammable nitroglycerin. To accomplish this goal, a crack team of hired guns is set out to acquire the nitro and transport it through a gauntlet of hostile forces, including rough terrain, armed enemies with no notion of what's on board, and literal minefields. But can they get there in time? So, this movie already had an uphill battle with me, not just because it shares the same name as a classic movie, but also because there's been another solid take on this story, besides the 1953 film, William Friedkin's 1977 underrated gem Sorcerer. Both have the same central premise. A team is sent on a dangerous mission with highly explosive cargo that has to get to its destination in a short period of time, with thematic and set-piece variations. The 1953 film is a takedown of capitalism and greed, and the 1977 film is all about living on the run and trying to outrun your past and what a fallacy that can be. But the films agreed on one thing. This premise should be a nerve-shredding experience because of the cargo and the setup. So why doesn't it work here? Well, because the director and company clearly wanted to make a morally upright action movie, which both defangs the premise and pushes it past any semblance of believability. Let's start with how it screws up the general premise. So, there's nothing wrong with our team being a bunch of hardened badasses or guns for hire. That's fine. I kind of like the idea that this crack squad is sent in to take care of this problem. But there's no moral ambiguity here. This mission is for money, but it's also to save a bunch of refugees from being blown up, which, come on, they're not going to let that happen. Even when we've got a bunch of hot people with guns in tow. In the original Wages and especially when you've got a bunch of hot people with guns in tow. In the original Wages and Sorcerer, all of the folks on the mission are unreliable or shady, which means not only is every moment tense because this person neglecting their duty could kill everyone, but also, what's stopping them from turning on everyone else when they hit the home stretch or a rough patch? Here the team is like a family where half of them are romantically involved and they're trying to save innocent people. There's no chance of added extra commentary about how messed up it is they've been asked to do this in the first place or how desperate someone would have to be to consider this. It's a Mission Impossible mission now. But without the tension that makes a Mission Impossible movie work because they keep having freaking gunfights in this movie. I think there's a way this could have worked, because you've got a group that's used to going into situations guns blazing that has to find ways to be tactical to find and take out enemies so they don't end up in firefights, specifically because one stray bullet could kill all life within a 12-mile radius, judging by the size of at least one explosion. But nope, we've got gunfights during chases on stretches of highway, shootouts with enemies perched above the heroes, and a literal minefield where at least one pops off. And that kills any chance the movie had at developing tension around its central premise and gimmick. I would liken this to if the bus in Speed was getting into gunfights with bad guys on the open highway. Yeah, you could do that, and it's theoretically tense because they could hit a tire, but it's so big that it strains the premise past the breaking point of believability in the audience's mind. The Wages of Fear, for comparison, makes going up a narrow road on a hill one of the most anguish-inducing moments in cinema because a tire rolls wrong. Whereas this movie features enough fireworks for a summer blockbuster, and I felt nothing. The verdict is, it's a missed opportunity. A wrong-headed approach to the premise, The Wages of Fear should have picked the name of a less beloved and less awesome movie. 2 out of 10. This has been Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to join our Facebook group, Scott's Self-Indulgent Movie World, for the latest reviews, discussions, and more. See you next time, everybody, and stay safe.